Theater presents Lorne Greene as your host for an exciting Western drama of today.
You mean the headaches will go away now that I'm blind?
Well, Skunkle, get some compress and write a setting and set the phone.
I won't drink it.
Our program, Final Fall, will begin after this message from your local station. This is Lorne Greene. We are in the north woods of Minnesota. Once the land was covered with virgin timber, stands of pine that shot 200 feet into the air. In the early part of this century, logging companies moved in and clear-cut the vast sylvan tracts which had once been the hunting and fishing grounds of the Ojibwe and Sioux Indians. In a small clearing in these woods, lost in a maze of lakes, stands an ancient log cabin. The occupant of this dwelling is Anders Fritzen, an old half-breed lumberjack who lives a hermit's life except for a single friend, Clarence Egan, the local postman. Clarence visits Andy almost daily, even though Andy never gets any mail. The two men drink coffee and play cribbage. Andy is a loner, to all appearances content and self-sufficient. But as the years go by, he's become more and more like his Ojibwe forebears, stoic and cautious. Egan is a hard-nosed man of affairs in the metropolis of Calvin, population 360. His ambitions reach far beyond his postal duties. Yet without his regular visits, Andy would be alone and probably helpless. Which is why the old man wears a kerchief over his eyes as he works. He's practicing blindness, as he calls it. And that's just the beginning of our story. Sears Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Brought to you 5 nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. Your hosts, Lorne Greene. I'll bring you stories of the Old West and the New.
Andy Griffith with a look at the funny side of life. Vincent Price with tales of mystery and suspense.
Cicely Tyson with stories about love, hate, and related things.
Richard Widmer. I'll bring you stories of pure adventure.
Nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, Final Fall by Percy Grainger. Our stars, William Shallert and Parley Bear. Andy Fritzen's cabin was way out beyond the end of Clarence Egan's mail route, at a remote corner of a small Indian reservation. All the other Indians, those who hadn't chosen to move away years ago, were dead. Andy was the last survivor, and the only person who saw him regularly was old Clarence.
Groceries. Who's that?
You know darn well who it is.
Oh, hello, Egan.
All right, I'll bite. What the heck you got that cloth tied around your eyes for?
I'm practicing blindness.
Crazy half-breed.
They got snow predicted for today, and you're yanking around out here half-naked. Oh, I'm a tough old crow, Egan. You know, I can go to 20 below before I even have to put laces in my boots. Besides, it ain't going to snow till tonight, you gloomy Bulgarian.
You know more than the radio?
Got to, since I don't have one.
Well, you ought to get yourself one.
Using what for money? There. Guess guess I've had this blindfold on long enough for one day.
Your eyes are getting worse, I think.
The other senses are taking up the slack.
You ain't got nothing in all them Indian herbs of yours that'll cure blindness?
No. The only cure for blindness is clean ears. Well, if you're here, I reckon I must be hungry.
You were hungry an hour ago, and late today.
Oh. And how is Portia Sook, the bearded widow of the North Woods?
I caught her pickling eggs again. It drives me crazy. Her whole cellar's full of them.
You never know when there's going to be trouble, she says.
Now, what kind of trouble are you going to settle with a cellar full of pickled eggs?
You miss the point, Tegan. What kind of trouble are you going to get into with a cellar full of pickled eggs?
It's a waste of time.
Well, then marry her, like you're always threatening to do.
I might just do that.
You just might, huh?
Yeah, I might just. I had about all of this day I want.
Mm-hmm.
I ought to quit this mail route altogether.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Sure. When the fish get lost in the woods.
36 years.
Well, the routes treated you pretty good. Capturing widows as far back as I can remember.
Yeah, but things is changing around here, Andy. There's real estate folks coming up from the Twin Cities, sniffing around, making deals.
Sit down and finish your cigar while I stack this wood.
Now they've raised the water level on the lake, the fish will be coming in, and fish means tourists.
Oh, Clarence, everyone knows your real talent ain't delivering the mail. It's poaching.
Yeah, and that's getting harder to do, too. Now all them land speculators are yanking around.
You know that new sheriff down in Bryant? He confiscated my trap line yesterday.
He didn't. Why, you've been poaching longer than he's been alive.
I know that. I don't understand people these days. They take everything so seriously. Like they was the first people in the world to ever have their jobs.
No respect.
No, nothing.
Well, you can't quit, Clarence. You know what that'd make me. A hermit. There. Wood's all stacked. Put out that cigar, would you? And come on in the cabin. I'll heat up the coffee, get down the cribbage for it. Your cigar and come on in.
Andy.
Coffee be ready in a minute.
Now, why don't you yank down the cribbage, boy?
I ain't got time for no cribbage today.
Sure you do.
Andy, you got a letter.
I did. Who from?
Here.
Bureau of Indian Affairs. What do they want?
How would I know? Open it.
I told them I didn't want anything to do with them. As far as I'm concerned, this isn't their land.
Just open it.
Hey, it's already been opened. Egan?
Oh, don't squawk. I sealed it up again, didn't I?
Are they going to evict me? Is that what this is?
Andy?
I've lived here a long time. Have they changed the law?
Just open the letter and read it.
Dear Mr. Fritzen, in reparation for 40 acres Ojibwe Reservation pursuant to Article 5 of Treaty, there's a check.
$10,000, Andy. What are you going to do?
Sit down.
You can move into town now.
Town?
Why, sure, they ain't going to lock up nobody with $10,000. You can get yourself some new clothes. Got a bigger buy around. When's the last time you went to the movies?
The movies?
And you could get your eyes fixed.
How?
Well, they got operations now.
That costs money.
You got money right there.
You mean not go blind?
They can fix you up good as new.
I don't know. I'd already accepted going blind.
Well, you don't have to. They can patch you up, make you a new man.
Here. You take this back.
What?
I don't want it. I can't take it.
Why not?
This land ain't for sale. It belongs to my people.
Your people.
All right, my mother's people. But it ain't mine to sell. I'm only a caretaker.
You ain't selling it. It goes back to the government anyway. Soon as you die, you know that.
Why'd they send me this?
Well, how should I know? Andy, I got an idea. Let's go up to Wheatley's bar.
Wheatley's? What for?
A celebration. You're rich.
I ain't moving.
Okay, you ain't moving. But when was the last time you were off your place?
I don't remember.
Well, okay then. Let's go.
I got some more wood to cut.
Oh, nuts. You got enough wood for up to last you 3 years. Now, come on.
I got some sourdough rising. I can't leave that for too long. And that storm...
Don't worry about the storm. I'll have you back before it hits.
I'd better not.
Why not?
The Ojibwe, my mother's people, they said as long as a man was on his own land, he was strong. If he left it, he became old. Unreliable.
Well, you don't have to rely on that stuff anymore, Andy.
You're rich. Well, okay. But one beer, one song, Egan. That's my limit.
Finally get yourself fixed up.
you walking right down the middle of the road.
I'm going home.
Where do you live?
Down the turnoff from the sawmill.
Well, that sawmill's 5 miles away. You better let me give you a lift.
I'm okay.
But you don't even have a coat.
I don't mind.
Come on, it's getting dark. Hop in.
Well,
there you go. You just holler when you get to your place.
I don't think I can see.
What?
I can't see. That beer's done something to my eyes.
Say, you got anyone at home to take care of you?
No, but I know where everything is.
Well, you better let me drive you into Bryant.
That's 40 miles away.
That's no trouble. I'm headed there anyway. I'll take you to the hospital.
An institution?
Sure. They'll fix you right up.
This old fellow wandering the road up past town.
I wasn't wandering. I was going home.
Here's the doctor. What's the problem?
Doctor, I think he's gone blind.
It ain't none of your business.
Let's have a look.
I know I'm going blind, and I've been preparing for it.
Now, hold still. Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? Who is that?
Has ever caused you pain?
Of course they have. I'm an old man.
Do you get headaches?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the headaches will go away now that I'm blind?
Skunk, we'll get some compresses of isosodium and cephalophone.
I won't drink it.
He may also be suffering from exposure.
Exposure? That's a laugh. I practically live out of doors.
Go to the parasedative as well.
No!
Leave the question of the bill. You've already run up.
Bill?
How much is it?
$147.
What for?
Well, you've been here 3 days.
3 days?
You've been under medication.
You drug a man unconscious, and then you charge him for not leaving?
That's not quite how we look at it.
No wonder I'm weak, unconscious for 3 days. That ain't natural. Where's my clothes?
Oh, behind the curtain there. But, well, you can't go home in just an old shirt and pants. It's too cold.
Would you please turn your back so I can get dressed?
Mr. Fritzen, the doctor is advising...
Young lady, do you really do this sort of thing for a living?
We just need to work out some way for you to pay your bill.
I was dragged here against my will, drugged unconscious. Then when I take exception, I'm threatened with charity. Well, I can pay my own way. I got a check from the government here for $10,000. If you haven't robbed me, too. There. See that?
Oh. Well, then, there's no problem. You can leave whenever you want. Oh, excuse me. I'll have to get back.
If I can't pay, I got to stay here and run up a bill. If I can pay, I'm free to go. This place is an institution. I've got to get out of here.
Sears Radio Theater will return after this message from your local station.
It's always like a benediction. Dang Clarence, anyways. I bet he thought he had me off my land for good. This check's been nothing but an evil talisman. Before I start home, I'm going to buy an envelope and a stamp and mail it back to the government. Where'd you get your license, the dog pound? Good. There's a five and dime. Hello. May I help you? I want to buy an envelope.
Certainly. What kind?
The kind you mail a letter in.
Yes, but Manila, airmail, business, personal...
Oh, business.
Business? Mm-hmm. And what amount would you like?
Amount?
Well, we have them in packages of 20, 50, 100.
I just need one.
The 20, then?
No, I just want one.
This is how they come from the factory.
Oh. Well, how much is 20?
Do you want the elite, the bond, the co-erasable?
I want the one that'll last till it gets to Washington, D.C.
Well, they all do that.
Then give me the cheapest.
All right. That'll be 49 cents.
Just a minute. I only got 23 cents.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Ain't you got a single envelope lying about I could barter for?
Bart? I'm afraid not.
Well, what about those envelopes over here?
Well, that's our greeting cards display.
I'll just take one of them.
You can't buy a greeting card envelope without buying the greeting card.
Oh. Well, how much is the greeting card?
The cheapest we have is 25 cents.
But I told you I only got 23 cents.
Well, I guess I could sell it to you for that. What's the matter now?
Can't do it.
Why not?
Got to have money for a stamp. How much is that?
15 cents.
15? I don't want to send it special delivery.
15 is what it costs to mail a letter nowadays.
But I got to mail this check back.
How much is the check for?
$10,000.
You're carrying a check with $10,000 and you don't have enough money for a packet of envelopes?
The check ain't mine. Belongs to the government.
I see. Would you excuse me for a moment? Perhaps I can find you a single envelope in the back.
Here.
Clara? This is Ned Hames. Get me the sheriff's office quick. I'll tell you all about it later. Just get me the sheriff.
Hello, Ned.
Why, Sheriff.
Is this the fella here?
What's going on?
Are you carrying a government check for $10,000?
How'd you know?
Can I see it?
Oh, Lordy, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Treasury. Looks okay enough. Anders Fritzen, that's you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see what the problem was, Ned.
Well, it just seemed odd.
If I can just see some identification, Mr. Fritzen.
I don't carry any.
You don't carry? Why not?
Ain't no need to.
But that's against the law.
Why? I know who I am.
Have you got any way of proving this check is yours?
It is mine. I mean, it ain't. It ain't mine to accept.
I think you had better come with me over to the station.
I tell you, my name is Anders Fritzen. Now let go of me, you Cossack.
Okay, we're here. Well, no ID, huh? I'll tell you, I don't know what to do. Now, everybody carries ID. You sure you don't have ID?
Holy tamale, no. Is that all you can say?
Well, this check is addressed to the Calvin Post Office. Is that where you're from?
Yes.
You don't by any chance know the postman up there, do you? Clarence Egan?
Never heard of him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Not in my book, it ain't.
Because I got him locked up in that cell back there.
Egan? What for?
I caught him poaching.
Ha! Serves him right.
Well, sounds to me like you do know him. Mr. Egan.
Listen here, Sheriff. Trap and game is the right of every American.
Come out here a moment, would you?
Oh, I'm afraid.
No, you're not. I want you to identify someone for me.
Andy, don't speak to me.
What are you doing here?
I told you if I came into town, they'd lock me up, didn't I?
Well, I guess that takes care of that. I'm satisfied. Here is your check, old-timer. Sorry for the trouble.
Trouble.
Okay, Mr. Egan, back into the cell.
Wait. Andy,
I got nothing to say to you.
Andy, I need $200 from a bail.
What? Oh, no.
You got that check.
I'm sending it back to the government.
But he's going to keep me locked up.
Since you tricked me off my land 3 days ago, I've been drunk, snowblind, shanghaied, incarcerated, drugged, overheated, accused of being an invalid, old, a pauper, and now I've been arrested.
Oh, come on, Sheriff. Now, you've got to let me go. How is the mail going to get delivered?
Okay, all right. I don't know if I could stand having you around until you're hearing anyway. You just be back here on the 29th at 9 a.m., you hear?
Oh, thank you, Sheriff. Thank you. Come on, Andy. I'll give you a ride home. What are you doing down here anyhow?
Just a minute. Sheriff, do you have an envelope you could give me?
An envelope? Yeah, there on the desk.
And a stamp. I can pay for them.
Yeah, it's on the house.
Andy, what are you doing? That's the check.
I know. I'm mailing it back. Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Andy, wait a minute. You got to keep that money.
There. Sheriff, would you send this out with your next mail?
Why don't you just give it to Mr. Egan? He's a postal employee.
Would you trust him with your mail?
Okay, I'll mail it. Now, the both of you, get out of here.
I don't suppose you want to stop at Weekly's bar.
No.
My treat?
No.
Well, I didn't know. I figured you'd made your way home, you know.
That hospital almost did me in.
Why'd you send that check back?
Because the land ain't the government's to give money for.
Oh, you ain't no more Indian than I am, and you know it. They never had nothing to do with you.
maybe.
And you never have nothing to do with them either. When Cecil Hole in the Day died, old Marie begged me to fetch you over there to help her bury him proper, and you wouldn't go. The public health officials finally had to come and take the body away from her. Everybody figured she must be crazy.
She was crazy. Both of them. A couple of old drunks. They was weak.
Well, it seems to me...
How it seems to you ain't how it is. I know I'm a crazy old half-breed lumberjack born New Year's Day 1900 into a century didn't have no place for me. But I can survive. I know how to do that. When you come out next spring, I'll be there, just like always.
I ain't coming out next spring.
What?
I asked Portia to marry me.
Out loud?
Of course, out loud.
What'd she say?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I figured you'd be all right with that money, you know?
Oh. Well, I'll be all right.
We're going to move down to Bryant and reopen our old man's gas station. With all them tourists coming up, they all drive them low-efficiency cars, you know. We ought to do real well.
Well, I hope you do.
Andy, here's your turnoff. This is all the further I can go now the snow's here.
You know, it's hard to believe when I got this corner of the reservation all them years ago that the land was cleared and ready for farming. And now look, the trees are almost touching over my cabin. You'd never know the white men had been through here at all.
Your hands was on the axe too, Andy.
I know. I helped to destroy the land my mother's people lived on. Someone should have cut my hands off the day I followed my father's kind into the camp.
It's grown back okay.
It ain't the same. Aspen, popple. Nothing like the virgin pine we took. Thanks, Egan.
Portia and I can come out to see you this winter, you know, on our snowmobiles.
No, don't want them machines on my land.
Well, we'll get up to see you.
Bryant's 40 miles away.
Andy, why is it you never took that money? I mean, before, when it was offered.
There was 11 kids in our family after my mother died. When my father ran off, I was responsible for them because I was the oldest. By the time I was free of that, I was 39 years old, and I was so far behind, there wasn't any point in even trying to catch up. I got no complaints, but I couldn't take so much money. Not now.
The wedding's New Year's Day.
Huh. That's my birthday.
We could send somebody.
No. I wouldn't know what to do with my hands. Egan.
Yes?
All the best. Cold? I ain't cold. I got my place. Right here. It ain't the government's, and it ain't the Ojibwe's either. It's mine. I spent half my life destroying it, and half my life watching it mend. Eddie.
Budget Shop has a vested interest in value.
Vested dresses and vested skirt and pant sets in sizes 8 to 18. Styled just right for spring.
They're romantic flounce dresses topped by vests. Tunic pantsuits coupled with vests. Also the tunic and skirt smartly finished with a vest. The vest. The season's fashion basic.
Lots of exciting print and solid color combinations. So you can be choosy.
Invest in fashion.
Invest in value.
Invest in dresses, invest in skirt and pants sets in the Budget Shop at most larger Sears retail stores.
Solid colorful kale sheets from Sears Medley collection, of course. This gorgeous sheet I'm wearing speaks for itself. The color is called Indian Sand. Isn't that stunning? I wear sheets of royal blue, lemon yellow. Sears has a dazzling selection of up to 24 colors. And the fit? Well, just look. I can't understand why mattresses wear anything but these smooth permapress sheets. Honestly, darling, I wouldn't wear anything else. Sizes from twin to king in most Sears retail stores and in the catalog.
When I need advice, I go to my mom.
Why not? It's free.
Now that I'm married and moving into a new house, I want all the advice I can get. So when Mom says shop Sears, I listen.
You should. Sears is a great help on those big items you need for your new home. Major appliances like washers, dryers, and refrigerators. They'll deliver, install, and service. I always depend on Sears. You should, too.
Nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. Final Fall was written by Percy Granger, produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lorne Green. Our stars were William Shallert and Parley Bayer.